Blog Talk Radio.
Holy Ghost, I'm so grateful, God, to know you did the most when you created her for me. Lord, you know I have witnessed your glory, all this favor you showed me. When you gave it to me, I had to learn what to do with your blessing. Now I know that a man who finds it, the wife finds a good thing. So every time I think of her, I'm thinking you. And when I give my love to her, I'm thinking you. Loving her like Christ led a church, 'cause you told me to. Yeah, she a missy on your glory. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm worthy, but I'm under your covenant, so I ain't worried. I'm just thanking you. When I think of her, I'm just thanking you. When I give her love, I'm just thanking you. Married and in love, I'm just thanking you. You. When I think of her, I'm just thanking you. When I give her love, I'm just thanking you. Married and in love, I'm just thanking you. You. Song of Solomon, chapter 8. Read it to me, tell me what it says. I know that you don't make mistakes. So if it's in the book, then it must be okay to love her. Like a wedding night, I pray, oh yeah. Yes, a man who finds it, the wife finds a good thing. So every time I think of her, I'm thinking you. And when I give my love to her, I'm thinking you. Loving her like Christ loved the church, 'cause you told me to. Yeah, she a missy on your glory. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm worthy, but I'm under your covenant, so I ain't worried. I'm just thanking you. I don't understand why we can't talk about being in love with the one he gave us. He know what he was doing, but she was his greatest creation. So I hope that you don't mind when I testify the way I do. Her like Christ loved the church, 'cause you told me to. Yeah, she a missy on your glory. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm worthy, but I'm under your covenant, so I ain't worried. I'm just thanking you. When I think of her, I'm just thanking you. When I give her love, I'm just thanking you. Married and in love, I'm just thanking you. Think of her, I'm just thanking you. When I give her love, I'm just thanking you. Married and in love, I'm just thanking you. You.
Hallelujah. 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 Good evening, everyone. Hallelujah. Good evening. Good evening to you all. We'll take a moment and hallelujah for prayer. Father, I serve you with gladness. I come before your presence with thanksgiving, knowing that you, O Lord God, hallelujah, you made each and every one of us, and we didn't do it. We didn't have anything to do with it. We are yours, Lord. We're your sheep of your pasture. You're the one lead us, guide us, and strengthen us, Father. You have brought us right where we are right today, Lord. You have empowered us to be able to walk and talk and listen. Hallelujah. You alone. You alone, Lord. You do great, wonderful, and mighty things here on this earth. Your wisdom have made the heavens. And the power of your word just keep on, keep on, keep on delivering us, changing us, enlightening us, awakening us, oh Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father. Hallelujah, for being stretched out. Hallelujah. Stretched out on the earth. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you for giving us the sun to rule by day. And the moon and the stars that you've given us, they rule by night, oh Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for ordering each and every one of our footsteps, Lord. And each and every one of our thoughts, Lord. For you being there, Lord. Being here, Lord Jesus. I feel your presence, Father, so strongly. So strongly in each person on this line, Lord. Hallelujah. Do not allow any distraction to move them away from your word, Father. Hallelujah. We're not, Lord Jesus, we're not wanting anything to sideline us, Father. Hallelujah. Sideswipe us, Father. But we want to be right on target with you. In your wonderful, wonderful name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Wherever you are, whatever you're doing right now, give God a hand. Give God a praise. Hallelujah. For you are the defeater. It is already done for you. Hallelujah. For whoever you're praying for. We must always remember, he said, pray ye one for another. Pray without ceasing. Are you doing that? God bless you. I shall now turn over our teaching section to our honorable apostle, Rosa L. Arnold. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. He's so worthy. Oh, my secret Bahusha. He is so worthy to be praised. And I just thank him. Oh, hallelujah. I thank him for every opportunity that I can share with you beautiful people. And I hope that I'm making it enough that, and not going too fast, that you can get what God wants us to have. That we can continue to grow even deeper in him. For the spirit that rests in us, that sweet Holy Spirit, glory be to God, it gives life to everything that God has for us. Hallelujah. Spirit of the Lord. Gives life. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord gives life. The Spirit of the Lord gives life. I feel it in my hand.
Hallelujah.
Right now.
Oh, yes.
Lord, I feel it in my hands right now.
Oh, yes.
The Spirit of the Lord gives life. Hallelujah. Feel it all over me. Hallelujah. Right now. Oh, I feel it all over me right now. The Spirit Lord gives life. It gives life. Oh, it gives life. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord, that precious Holy Spirit that is within us, it gives life to every fiber of our being. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. There's something I'm going to ask every one of you when we get off, when I finish with this lesson. I hope I have time to ask you. But I just want to see, those of you that are really retaining the lessons that God has outlined, you see, God picked these things out for me to teach. Hallelujah. And I want to be sure that I'm giving it to you so that I know that you are operating on these scriptures, and because God is not giving it to us just to give it to us. I want you to know how close he is to returning. I've been watching on YouTube, and it shows, hallelujah, there are two programs. One is the two preachers, and one is the specifications, and then there's the news, CBS News, and it's telling about what's happening all over the world. China is underwater. Their rivers and they are overflowing. I saw it's so bad in China. The dams are about to break, and that will flood even more. They're already built. The houses are underwater, and you can see the top of the trees, and you can see cars and buses just rolling in the water. The water's taking it downstream, and people are trying to jump out of their cars before they go over a cliff. It's horrible what's happening over there. But it's not only in China. It's in Greece, Italy, Sicily, Italy, Spain, India, Turkey, UK, and Russia. And get a hold of this. In Russia, one of their rivers, is blood red. One of their rivers is blood red. Oh, God. That's in the book of Joel, where it tells that there are going to be storms. There's going to be flooding. On one side, there's going to be fires. On the other, and there's going to be smoke. And there are volcanoes, one in China, that has not erupted for over 1,000 years. And it's bubbling up. Smoke is coming up. But there's smoke all in California and Colorado, these other nations, these states, that they have fires uncontrollable. They have cut the utilities for thousands of people in California to try to keep the fires down. It's horrible. It's horrible. Oh, God. Read the book of Revelation. Read the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. Read over in the book of Luke. And all these things, earthquakes, tsunamis, all those things are on the rise. And we will see that God's judgment is coming. He's soon to return. Oh, Cuba and India and Spain, Greece and Turkey, in Beirut and Lebanon and Brazil and San Carlos and Sao Paulo. Oh, God, these things have just gripped my heart. In one place, hallelujah, the night has been turned into day with the thunderstorms and the lightning. In Gaza and Palestine, there's flooding. In the Saudi desert, it has flooded. The Saudi desert. Oh, God. Father, we need to get closer and closer to you. But there was another country, and I'm going to try to find which one that was. It had happened so quickly. But the town in the middle of the day turned black dark. And the caption under was that God allowed it to happen because of their treatment towards the Christians. Over in the book of Joel, it tells us about these things. Also, when you read in the book of Revelation, when the different seals have been opened, this is not a plaything. We have got to get real with God. And tonight, I want to teach you, teach us, because everything that I teach is coming to me first, and I'm thanking him for it, for straightening out things. If I had in the wrong thinking, through this study, God is straightening it out for me. And I hope he's doing the same thing for you. Hallelujah. We're going to go into how to turn your faith loose. We talked some last Saturday, but there's still so much more and so many more scriptures and directions that God wants us to have. Hallelujah. In Romans 10 and 10, and we've had this scripture a lot. Thank you, Lord. It reads, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Hold that scripture, Romans 10 and 10, because I'm going to come back to it. In Mark 11:23, and if you don't have pen and pencil, please get it quickly, because I'm going to give you some things that's going to help, and I'm going to read it to you so you can write it out. I'm not going to go fast because I want you to receive what God wants us to know so that it won't be any doubt in our minds about what God is and what he can do for us and what he's already done and yet doing. We need to know how we can trust him. We need to know. Believing is just not enough. We got to confess it. You got to confess it. You got to believe it to your own self first, that you can claim it. You can speak what God is, has, and will do for you. Hallelujah. Now, Mark 11:23, and it reads, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." You hear that? Whatsoever he said, with faith believing, we're going to turn our faith loose tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. We've covered lessons on what it means to believe with the heart. And I'm not talking about the heart that pumps blood to every part of our body. But I'm talking about that spirit man, that when we receive Jesus in our heart, the Holy Spirit came into us and changed our spirit, got rid of that old spirit, hallelujah. So we want to make that spirit man grow on the inside of us. And we want to daily start working on letting our soulish realm, that old man in us, die out. For Paul said, I die daily. And he admonishes us to do the same thing. Not a physical death, but a death of the old ways. That means to stop doing the old things. When Jesus is saying when the rapture takes place and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, that's not those people out there in the cemetery. It's those of us, hallelujah, that have been dead to our old self, and we've let the Spirit of God rule in us and lead us and guide us and teach us and direct us. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I know I'm not going to miss it. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I'm working hard to be in that number. I told the Lord I want to be in that number. It would take billions and billions of dollars to restore China. Just that one country alone. Not talking about all the others. If God allows it. If he allows it, but they've hurt so many of his people. Hallelujah. So now we're going to learn how to activate our faith. So in other words, how to turn our faith loose. Glory be to God. Now, and let's notice that the latter part of Romans 10 and 10 that I just read to you. It says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. But it's not just unto salvation. It's unto whatever we need it to be. Hallelujah. The text says that with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But like I said, that's not the only true concerning salvation. It's not only just true for that, but it's true concerning anything else that you receive from God. Everything that you receive from God, it comes the same way. It comes through faith, and it comes through confessing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Confession with the heart. Because it's with the heart that man believes when it comes to receiving healing. And it's with the mouth that confession is made, hallelujah, unto healing. So when you ask for prayer or you believe in God, we've got to confess it. Hallelujah. I confess, I know my shoulder is healed. But demonic spirits, by saying they're out, so more than they've ever been, have been loose to tear down God's people, to make them doubt God, to cause them to feel like they're not healed, they're not delivered, they're not set free. But you have to speak to those rascals. Because God has given us, those of us that have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God has given us power and authority to speak to them and put them in their place, tell them to cause them to be bound up and hurled into dry places, send them back to hell, wherever you want to send them. And if you believe in those words that you're speaking, they have to do it. The blood of Jesus is against them. And you tear the blood. So tell them, look, the blood is all over me. And you back off right now in Jesus' name. We have to be bold with this. You can't just say, oh, God, I'm still hurting. Oh, I must not be healed. That's what the devil wants you to think. That's why he'll cause you pain. Look at Paul. 3 times he asked God. He had an affliction and to heal him. Even Timothy had an affliction. And Paul told him to drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. And God told Paul, he said, excuse me, he told him that my grace is sufficient. Don't worry about that little affliction. My grace is sufficient for you. Stand on it. If we're going to believe it, then we got to stand on it. And we got to speak into it. Hallelujah, Jesus. I give him praise. Hallelujah. Now, I told you that it's with the heart that man believes when it comes to receiving your healing. And it's with the mouth that confession is made unto healing. Just like it is up here in Romans 10 and 10, unto salvation. Glory be to God. And if you're praying for somebody else for their deliverance, it's the same thing. We must confess and tell them to confess that they are healed, no matter how you feel. Don't let go. Don't stop. Hallelujah. Over in Mark 11, 23. Hallelujah, Jesus. Whatever it is that you receive from God, it is done in the same way, through faith. You can't get to him any other way. Hallelujah. It takes faith to believe that Jesus can save you. Hallelujah. Your faith is activated. And how is it activated? It's activated by believing with your heart, with your spiritual man. Hallelujah. And confessing with your mouth that you are saved. I'm a new creation. I'm delivered. I'm set free. Whatever it is that you need God to do for you. I wanted a new car. Glory be to God, but I didn't want a car note. And I believe God, and God made it on somebody's heart. And they gave me a check. They sent me a check and said, this is for you, a new car. Hallelujah. I'm still driving. Well, I'm not driving. Pastor's driving it. And I just thank God for that. I don't have to drive anymore. I drove enough when I had to take mommy everywhere and do, you know, the kids and whatever. So now I can just sit back and relax and enjoy the drive. Hallelujah. So we have to, this verse we need to meditate on. That's 11:23. Because God has brought it to our attention that you have to do 3 times as much preaching and teaching, saying, the saying part that's in the scripture here. We got to teach more about that as we do about the believing part. Because if you believe but you don't confess, then you're blocking yourself. All right, thank you, Jesus. It's not just the believing, it's also the confessing. So we must confess that we are healed. And you'll receive it. It'll be yours. Why? Because your sin is yours. But if you keep saying that you have the condition, the devil gave you that condition. It's his condition. It's not yours. So don't claim it. Don't say it's yours. You can say the doctor said or whatever. But don't say, let that not be your confession. Let your confession be, I'm healed. Hallelujah. In Romans 10, starting at the 8th verse, hallelujah, it's talking about whatever you want from God's word. It should come to pass in your life. But we've got to, there are principles that we have to follow if we want to walk where God wants us to be. Hallelujah. In the 8th verse of Romans 10, but what saith it? The word is nothing, even in the mouth and in the heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, your spirit, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now in this verse 8, I want you to notice this, that the word of faith must be in your mouth. Hallelujah. It's got to be in our mouth as well as in our heart in order for faith to work for us. If the word is only in our spirit, man, if it's only in our heart, it's not going to work. But when faith is both in our heart and in our mouth, thank God, our faith will work. What? Because we are speaking it. We're not just believing it in our heart, but we are speaking it. We are confessing it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We've got to do right thinking, believing, and confessing. In Romans 10:10 again, it says, with the mouth, confession is made unto, you can finish that, unto salvation, unto healing, unto deliverance, unto whatever, unto prosperity, unto whatever. Because God already told us, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. How can our soul prosper, Lord? By the reading and the understanding of God's word. We put enough of his word in us. Hallelujah. Then we'll have right thinking, because you see, what you think and what you believe affects your confession. It will affect whatever it is that you say. What you meditate on will eventually get down into your heart. And you will begin to believe what you've been meditating on. But if your believing is right, then your confession will be right. But if any one of the three is wrong, your thinking, your believing, and your confession, then all three is wrong. They work together. Your thinking, your believing, and your confessing, giving us his word so that we can get our thinking straightened out. We've been in a lot of different churches, and they teach a lot of different things, things that's been handed down to them that they have learned from other ministries. But God wants us to know him for ourselves. and his word is not that hard. God has given us his word so that we individually can get our thinking straightened out. And when we think in line with God's word, then our believing is going to be right. Oh, hallelujah. When we are believing right, then what we say with our mouth will be right. We've got to confess positive side of God's word. I'm sure, and this is from listening and praying and counseling with a lot of people all through these years, few Christians have actually realized and recognized the place that confession holds in the things that happen in our lives, the scheme of things, as they said. And it's to be regretted. It's sorrowful in my heart. I've had to learn that whatever we use the word confession, you know, people start thinking about confessing sins. They think about weakness and failures, but that's the negative side of confession. But there is a positive side, thank you, Jesus. And the Bible has more to say about the positive side of confession than it does about the negative side. So we want to know the positive side. We want to stay on the positive side of our confession. In the dictionary, it says that to confess means to acknowledge or to own up to or to acknowledge faith in. It also means to make confession of one's faults. I mean faith. You're not going to trip me up. Thank you, Jesus. See how it is. And you're listening, I have, without thinking, that's not what God is saying. He's talking about faith. Hallelujah. Or to acknowledge faith in God's word. That's what confession means. So if we live on one side of this confession and we're speaking negative things, it will never get to the positive until we stop. It will always be, I'm going through. Well, when are you going to get to? We need to not say, I'm just going through, honey. I've heard so many people testify that in church. Just pray for me because I'm going through. Even if you come and say, hey, how you doing? Oh, honey, I'm just going through. Hope I can make it through this day. You don't want to die. You're telling Satan, come and get me. We want to speak positive things. No matter how I feel, if somebody asks me how I'm doing, I say, I'm doing great. And then I will be getting great. Hallelujah. It's what we confess. Glory be to God. So we don't want to be a weakness and sin and failure into our consciousness. We don't want that in our spirits. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you have your pen and your pencil, I want to give you three steps of confession. These are confession, three things that will be confessing. And you see, the great confession, that's what Christianity is called. It's called the great confession.
The great commission.
No, it's also called the great confession.
But it's the great commission too.
But I know it's the great commission also, yes. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number one, confession stating something we believe. Confession is stating something we believe. That's number one. Number two, confession is declaring something. Confession is declaring something we know to be true. We know it's true. Hallelujah. And number three, confession is proclaiming a truth that we've accepted with all our heart. We've wholeheartedly accepted it as being true. So in other words, what have we said? That our confession is a proclamation of what we know in our hearts to be true. For our confession states what we believe. And our confession declares the things that we know. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And our confession proclaims a truth that we have wholeheartedly accepted as being truth. And that's a sad thing that so many people have wholeheartedly believed the wrong thing. You know, I pray for those white supremacists and all those kind of people because they've been taught the wrong thing and they're wholeheartedly into it. But that's when Satan just takes over. You can be on the positive or you can be on the negative. So now I'm going to give you five things that we are to confess. Five things. The major problem for us in this area is to know what we are to confess. We need to know exactly what is acceptable unto God that we must confess. And there are certain truths or principles that our confession has to be centered around. Okay, the first one, it's what God has done for us through Christ. What God has done for us through Christ in his plan for salvation. What did Christ do? Hallelujah. Number two, that we have to confess what God has done in us by the Word and the Holy Ghost and the new birth and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Those are things that we must confess. Hallelujah. We also need to confess, number three, who we are to God. Who we are to God the Father in Jesus Christ. Or Christ Jesus, whichever way you like to put it. Who we are to God the Father in Christ Jesus. Number four, we need to confess what Jesus is presently doing for us. Confess what Jesus is presently doing for us, the right hand of the Father. At the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives, talking about Jesus still. Well, he ever lives to make intercession for us. Hasiko. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, and number five, this, what God can accomplish through us. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. I can do it. I can do it. I can walk with my feet felt like lead. Hallelujah. You can do it. You can do it. So we must confess what God can accomplish through us or what his word will accomplish through us. Of what his word will accomplish through us as we proclaim his word. As we proclaim his word.
Would you repeat the first one, Apostle?
Yes, the first one is that we must confess what God has done for us. What God has done for us. Through Christ in his plan for salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this next one I'm going to give you, and if you do it, it's going to work. I have my church in Detroit. God led me to have them to do this. You see, we need to confess who we are in Christ, who we are in him. And I had them to look up every scripture in the epistles that talks about being in him, being in Christ, of being in whom, all referring to Jesus. This is a method, and I've had people that have asked me, and I've taught in our churches here and wherever we had them. There are several methods of studying the Bible. And this is one that I want to suggest to all of us believers. And I do it everywhere I go, especially if I'm at. Hallelujah. That we must read through the New Testament. Read through the New Testament, and especially through the epistles. This is Acts and Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, all of those. Those are the epistles. Because, see, we're not of the old covenant, but we are of the new covenant. We are the church. And so, as being the church, we have to do the things that would help the church to be the church that God wants it to be. Jesus is the head and we are the body. Hallelujah. So, I would like for you, and this is according to what you want, but I'm giving you the suggestion that will be helpful. If you will go through the epistles, because they are the ones that are written to the church, and underline with a red pencil or a yellow mark or whatever, or write down the scriptures that have the expression in him, in Christ, or in whom. In the moment that you find these scriptures, begin to confess that this is who you are and this is what you have. And if you do that, I guarantee you that before many days, your life will be different. It'll be different for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now I'm going to give you a few sample scriptures to get you headed in the right direction, or in that direction. I'm sorry. But then you have to find the rest of them on your own, because I wouldn't have time to cover all of them. There are approximately 133 or 134 in him, in whom, in Christ, in the epistles, starting with the book of Acts. Thank you, Lord. Okay. The first scripture is 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it reads, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and there's the expression right there that you want to underline with your red pen of a mark, Christ. He is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And when we put that scripture and keep saying it and get it in our heart, hallelujah, we are a new creature. We're not just saved, but we are a new creature. Hallelujah. This is revolutionary. Hallelujah, Jesus. This scripture is to the church. It's to teach, to believe, to confess. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We are not just forgiven sinners. You hear people say, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, don't say that. Hallelujah. Because that's not all that you are. And that's the sad thing, that so many people have been taught those things. Hallelujah. We are not poor. We're not weak. We're not staggering. We're not sinning. We're not barely getting along. You hear people confess to that. Oh, Pastor, I'm just barely getting along. I don't know how we're going to make it. If you trust God, he'll help you to make it. I've cooked my last meal on a Sunday. My husband get paid till Thursday. And had company that came in unexpectedly. And not only did God feed them twice, they wanted a second, but the pot never seemed to get empty. The roast never seemed to diminish. But not only that, God is so good. He had that minister to leave a crisp $50 bill under my napkin holder. He never said a word to me. But God did it. He'll do it for you. And I'm sure he's already doing it. I'm sure he's already doing it. Paul said, when he was writing to the church in Ephesus, this is Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and the 10th verse. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and the 10th verse. He told them that we are created by God in Christ Jesus. There's another in Christ to underline. And he went on to say that therefore we are new creatures, created in Christ Jesus, that's another one to circle or underline, with the life of God, the nature of God, and the ability of God in us. We don't have to have low self-esteem. Through God, we can reach our potential. We're just as good as anybody else. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a good favorite. Hallelujah. I thank you for it, Lord. And it's simply because we've got to tell people, I mean, I'm a new creature in Christ. When they say, well, you don't hang around like you used to. Well, no, I'm a new creature in Christ. And that could be an opening for them to ask you, what you mean you're a new creature in Christ? And that gives you an opportunity to tell them how Jesus came into your heart. Tell them how the Holy Spirit convicted you of the way of life that you were living and how he drew you to Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. You see, the more that you talk about the new birth, the more real the new creation becomes to you, because that's who you are and that's what you are. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There are people that join the church, but you never see them walk down when the pastor asks if you want to give your heart to God. And they just sit there. But you see, joining the church is not enough. Joining the church does not mean that you're saved, especially when you can continue to do the old thing. I used to hear, you know, ladies talk about having to be parted all night. I just got home in time to take a shower, get dressed, and get to the church because we had to sing this morning. That was nothing to be proud about. So in other words, you're just coming to church. And you just want to sing, but you're not trying to live the life that Christ requires that we live. We have to be saved, okay? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it also says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we hold on to that scripture because that means that we're not holding on to the old things. We're not hanging out. You know, I hear people say, well, honey, I have to go in the bars and so I can draw the people out, so I can get souls saved. If God didn't send you in there for somebody, you don't go in there. You stay out of that place. Hallelujah. We've got to confess. It's a must. Be proud. Be grateful. Be thankful that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. If you don't do anything but thank him every day, Lord, I thank you that I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. There's another in him. This one is in whom? Ephesians 1, verse 7 and 8. Ephesians 1, verse 7 and 8. And I'm going to have to let that be the last one because it's 7 o'clock. Wow, time flies. This reads, in whom, and we're talking about in Christ, or in whom, in him, or in whom, or in Christ. This scripture is an in whom. And it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. I want you to notice this first part in verse 7. It says, in whom we have. In whom we have. I thank God that we're not trying to get redemption. We have it. We're not going to have it sometime in the future. We have it now. Present tense. Hallelujah. What is it that we have now in him? We have redemption. That means that Satan's dominion over our lives has been broken. The only thing when we're getting saved that we have to confess, we don't have to confess all our sins. We probably couldn't think all of them anyway. We have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. That's all we have to confess. There are other times that we might confess our sins and whatnot, and I'll go back over that with you all another time. But this, hallelujah. Thank you. Know that Satan lost his dominion over your life the moment you became a new creature. In a new birth, you received a new Lord, thou Satan. Hallelujah. And that's in Colossians 1:13. Colossians 1:13. Now, Jesus Christ is the reign over our life. Satan was our Lord, but now Jesus is our Lord. And don't say Satan was never your Lord. If you didn't have Jesus Christ in you, then Satan was your Lord. Hallelujah. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus for, hallelujah, or Jesus as Lord, then thou shalt be saved. If we confess that the Lord Jesus is Lord, Satan's dominion ended and Jesus' dominion began the moment that we were born again, the moment that we accepted Christ, whom we have redemption. That's an underlying word. Ephesians 1:7. Because we have been redeemed. And from whom have we been redeemed? That's just part of the story, but not nearly all of it. We're going to learn some more. Because we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been redeemed from the curse of poverty. Hallelujah. It's so much that we have and that we can confess. And we'll go over it some more next Saturday. I want to take my time so that you have time to write down and take your notes. And I thank God for every one of you because this keeps me on my toes. And I thank God for it. Thank him. And if you have a prayer language, spend time. Even if it's when you go to the bathroom, just pray in your prayer language. Seek him first. In the morning, seek him early. He likes to be sought after early in the morning, before our hearts and our minds can get caught up with the things of the day. So if you need to set your clock for 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock before you have to get up, do it. And just praise him. Tell him good morning. Good morning, Abba Father. Remember, Abba is the compassionate side of God. Father is the disciplinarian side. So when you wake up, you want to give him thanks. You want to honor him. You want to thank him for the things that he's done for you. Look around and see what you have. I've seen houses floating down the river in the floods in these countries. And even right here in the United States, we've got some bad flooding going on right now from that hurricane. Know who you are in him, Christ Jesus. The question I want to ask you, but I've run out of town, but I want you to think about it. I want you to tell me what you have learned from the messages that I've been giving you on faith, about it being in your heart, about your heart not being your physical heart, but your spirit man. And always remember that it's the spirit of the Lord that gives life, that gives you life, that keeps you going, that loves you. Prophetess Owens, if you'll open your line, if you'll go ahead and pray for our people and give us the benediction, and God bless you.
All righty. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Father God, we are so grateful that you have come into our lives, into our homes, into our ears, into our hearts, into our minds, soul, body, spirit. Father God, we thank you for each and every one of us on the line. We thank you for delivering your message through Apostle Rosa, your prayer through Reverend Wanda. We thank you, Father God, that you have been so gracious and so merciful for us to be able to get together and to assemble, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for this line, Father God, for this open line of direct communication and for the word being so easily coming forth from Apostle so that she can put it in a way that we can understand and relate to it and guide us. Lord, we thank you for you allowing us, Father, to breathe, Father God, some new air, some fresh air. We thank you for waking us up this morning, Father God, and for keeping us in our right mind, Father God. We thank you for clarity, Father God, for deliverance and for guidance, Father God. We thank you for hallelujah, anointing our heads with oil, our cups running over, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for keeping our loved ones safe. We thank you for just celebrating another Thanksgiving, Father God, as we have to know every day is a day of Thanksgiving, Father God. We do thank you, Father God, for putting the spirit of the Holy Ghost in us, Father God, for allowing your son Jesus to come down and to save us, for him to shed his precious blood on the cross, Father God, so that we may have the right for repentance, Father God, and to seek your grace and your mercy and your love and your peace and your understanding, the peace that surpasses all understanding. We thank you, Father God, for being wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in you, Father God. We thank you, hallelujah, for getting in our feet when they don't feel like moving. We thank you for being able to call on you when our knees hurt. We thank you for being able to just move, Father God, and be able to make ourselves something to eat, Father God, to have clean clothes and a roof over our head. We thank you, Father God, for giving us a mind to help others, Father God. We thank you for cleansing us and purifying us and renewing us, Father God. We rebuke anything in our lives that's not of you, Father God. And we ask, Father God, that your words will come clear to us and let us have the discerning and the understanding and the wisdom that we need to have, Father God. And we thank you, Father God. If we can't do anything else, we can praise you, Father God. And we want to continue to praise you, Father God. And we want others to see you in us, Father God. Whatever we wear in, Father God, we want to wear you the most, Father God. We want to keep you first, Father God. As your words say, seek you first, your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. And Father God, we're going to close out and say, please, if there's anything that we have left out, you include it in our lives, Father God. We are covered by the blood of Jesus, whether we in our homes, in our cars, or just anywhere we are, Father God. And don't just cover us, Father God. Cover all those who are not believing in you, Father God, whatever they believe in, Father God. And those who are not even aware that they don't believe. Standing in any form of need, whether it's food, clothing, shelter, or freedom, Father God. Oh, Lord, and this COVID-19, there's so much to pray for. But anyway, Lord, please watch between we and thee while we're absent, one from the other. In your precious Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
darling. God bless all of you.
Amen.
Until next Wednesday. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.